Hello, Tony. It's really nice to talk to you again.
And you. I trust you're keeping well and keeping dry.
Keeping dry, thank goodness. But you know, we can't moan about the weather, can we? We've had it so hot, and now we've got the rain, and now it's autumn. We need to learn to work with the seasons.
We do. This is a strange thing for many people, working with the seasons like that bit intensely. But has the summer that we've had put out any of the flowering or the or that of any of the flowers and the fruits at all? I mean, I've got tomatoes at the moment that are green. I've had masses and masses and masses of tomatoes off of four plants and still got masses to come. Don't know what's gone on with it. It seems to have gone bonkers. Is that a general thing this year?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, what people have got to remember now, of course, is that the sun is not going to be as high in the sky, the tomatoes are not going to ripen as much. So if you've got a lot of leaf around, if you open up the plants and prune out some of the branches or some of the leaves, that'll allow light and air to penetrate into the plant, particularly if you're growing like you do outside.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting one this year because we've never had much luck with them before. And we planted some earlier this year and they didn't work. So we took a chance and, well, you gave us some advice and put four of these plants straight from the garden centre, little, tiny little plants, into the box in, it was about May, June, I think it was. And they've gone absolutely mad. We've got sort of tomatoes coming out of our ears. Don't know what to do with them. And then there's a whole lot more green ones, which you've, whilst off air talking about these things, green tomatoes and things you can do with it. That's a whole different program, though.
Honestly, Tony, funnily enough, I grew a variety which I've never grown before. And I keep saying, regardless of who I talk to, this year, why don't you grow something different?
Yeah.
And I grew something different, and I grew a tomato called Green Envy.
Oh, yeah.
And it never gets red. So it doesn't matter what it's like. It's now a small plum tomato, and it's green, and it's got a couple of stripes on the top of it, and it's as sweet as sweet. And my daughter picked them for me last week and they are absolutely gorgeous. So do your green tomatoes. Google green tomato chutney. You really won't be disappointed.
Okay, well, that's something that I'm going to do a bit later on today because, as I say, we've got so many of them. But there are lots and lots of other things that we need to get to at the end of a rather extraordinary summer. And I don't know whether the timings are right for doing these things, but some of the things that are around, well, divide, swap and share. Not quite sure what that's supposed to mean, but I'm guessing it's to do with your flowers.
Yeah, perennials, I think it is. Now is the time to actually divide up your perennials. If you've got a load in the garden, divide them up and pot them on. You can either give them away or sell them or replant them in parts of your garden. They're plants for free, Tony, aren't they? When you think about it, it's really good. Clean them up. The only thing you should do, really, is before you dig them up, give them a blooming good water. Even though we've had a rainfall, sometimes the rain doesn't actually go deep into the root ball itself. So just give it a water, leave it a day, lift them, and then divide them. And you can either divide them by using a very old sort of carving knife. I've got a couple of old bread knives that I use in the garden. And they will recover. I mean, honestly, they will. And you'd be surprised. One of the things, too, to remember, that if you are dividing everything up, we are very stuck at the moment with peat-free compost. I'm not a lover of peat-free compost, but we have to work with it. And so what I tend to do is to mix a mixture of J.I. John Innes number 2 with the peat-free compost and pot into that. I find that that works absolutely wonderfully, mainly because the J.I. has soil in it, and therefore the soil holds the moisture into the peat-free compost. That's what I find works for me.
Okay, so peat-free compost, and you use, what do you call it, J.I.?
I call it, it's John Innes, J.I.
Yeah, okay.
John Innes, number 2.
Okay, number two, we'll remember that. We will. Second thing we should do, because you're talking about looking after those flowers and those plants, is to, according to what I'm looking at here, it says take cuttings.
Yes, some of the salvias, the hardy salvias, such as the hot lips, and all of that
sort of... Great name for a plant.
They're woody ones. A lot of people are saying at the moment, and it's interesting because mine is doing the same here, is that hot lips are actually, because they're white and pink, hence the name hot lips. But as the light fades, you will find that the pink disappears and the flowers will become wholly white. Don't worry about it. They will come back next year.
Okay. Now, the other thing...
It's all to do with light.
Okay. Now, the other thing that's always puzzled me is some of these things that you plant during the year, you can reuse next year. Some you can't. I've been told with the tomato plants, can't use those again. But there are bulbs, of course, that flower and do all sorts of bits and pieces and die off as we go towards the autumn. But you can reuse those again next year, can't you?
Absolutely. The majority of things, of course, you know, we're talking also not only bulbs, but tubers as well, dahlias. Well, with dahlias, either, and it's coming up to the National Dahlia Society show up in Newby Hall in Derbyshire. Mm-hmm. Is it Derbyshire or Lancashire or somewhere? It's north anyway. And you can either lift your dahlia tubers or you can leave them in the ground. Now, it's a case of where do you live? Are you in a frost pocket? If so, lift your dahlias. If you know that your ground is going to get very, very wet, lift your dahlias. What you do with those is at the moment you cut back, well, wait until the flowers have gone for probably until the middle of October, end of October. Don't leave it too late. Cut down all the green foliage until you get to the tuber at the bottom. Now, if they're in pots, you can actually leave them in the pots, cover the pots, put the pots somewhere which is frost-free, and then restart them again in the spring. Or you can leave them in the ground, cover them with a real heavy mulch, and leave them, and they should come through. So it's a case of, if you've got room, keep them in the pots, or in the ground. If you haven't, then lift them, store them in boxes. Ordinary newspaper crumpled up all around them stops that frost from getting at the tuber.
It's a whole different world, the garden, in the middle of winter. And I'm guessing preparing for that is quite something. The other question, because we mentioned about my experience with tomatoes.
Yeah.
And that, and the fact there's still a number of... green one's still there. I'm not sure it's just tomatoes, but there are other plants that are still pushing out some fruit. I mean, we've got a very feeble strawberry plant that's still putting out the odd strawberry. When is it a good time to actually stop picking the fruit and just strip the whole lot off and start dealing with the soil?
With fruit such as strawberries and raspberries, I would just carry on picking for as long as you can. But then the only thing that you should stop picking is rhubarb. Rhubarb and asparagus should have been stopped end of July, beginning of October. End of July, beginning of August, sorry.
A couple of months later.
Exactly. Because the crown underneath there of both the plants need actually bulking up. And so that's the time to feed it, bulk it up, give it a good old mulch over the top, and you'll get some really lovely rhubarb and asparagus next year. But all the rest of the stuff, keep picking. And do you know, Tony, how to know when your apples are ready to pick?
No, I have no idea. I mean, I have no idea with any of that stuff at all.
Right, so when you've got apples on a tree, and I've got what's called a step-over apple in my garden, which is a little short one. It's actually growing in a raised bed, but that's a by the by. When you got the apple on the tree, hold it underneath, and I showed my daughter how to do this yesterday. Hold it underneath and lift your hand slightly. Now, if the fruit is ready to eat, it will come away straight away in your hand. It'll just drop.
All right.
Right? Mm-hmm. If it's a pear, all you need to do with the pear, and the conference particularly, is gently, and I mean gently, feel the outside skin. If they actually sort of give a little, then that's the time. It's sort of like pressing the outside skin to test for ripeness. They should give a little. The skin should just give a little. Lift them and take them in. Mm. Blackberries, if you've got cultivated blackberries, pick them, freeze them. They are absolutely fabulous. You can take them straight out of the freezer and put them on a dollop of ice cream and you're away.
Stop it. It's like reward season, isn't it, for all that hard work you've put in all year.
And the only other thing is plums,
and you get all these fruits back.
Yeah, I mean, just remember to pick the plums. I've actually... some of the plums that I've seen in people's gardens haven't been good this year because they haven't plumped up, basically, because we haven't had the rain. But I've made lovely plum jam from non-plump Victorias.
So. It's very nice, actually, to be able to make all these things from the things you've grown in the garden. It's unbelievably rewarding to
say we've done
this with the tomatoes and got passata. We've got tomato chutney. We've got tomato soup. There's all sorts. Anybody wants any tomatoes, just get in touch with me. I've got loads at the moment. They're not all red, by the way. The other thing, of course, that you do at this time of year, apart from sort of making sure your fruit's all sorted and your flowers are, there's a little bit of preparation going on really for next year in the form of making your own compost.
Yes, absolutely. Anything that you cut back, as long as it's not going to be sort of invasive, like if you've got couch grass in the garden and you're digging it up, don't compost that at all, please. But any of the top stuff, just compost it down. Remember, though, to layer it. So don't put grass clippings all in one go. Put some green material, bit of grass clippings, green material, and sort of layer it as you would, really, I suppose, a lasagna.
Mm.
It's like a compost.
I never saw compost as lasagna, but you've just put that picture in my head. Well done. The other thing to do is to recover what you can and reuse what you can for next year.
Yes. Lots of seed saving. Lots of... if you're seed saving, whatever you do, don't put it in a polythene bag. Use brown paper envelopes or something like that and just store them somewhere cool. That's all you need to do.
Yeah. The other thing that I've seen that comes from a slightly different source is a thing that's headed up, splitting your perennials. Explain more, because I'm sure you can.
Yeah, well, we talked about that just a little bit earlier, didn't we? But if you've got a great big clump, real big clump, then what you've got to do is either get somebody with you to hang on to it, get it out of the pot to start with, or out of the ground, and make sure that you water it well beforehand. It makes it so much easier to get it out of the ground or the pot.
Yeah.
And then if you get two forks... Now, I can't show you on air, Tony, but what I'm going to do is to say to you, lock your fingers, turn your hands upside down.
Yeah.
And lock your fingers together.
Yeah.
So that the backs of your hands are in the air.
All right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do that with two forks.
Ah, gotcha, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And with the handles of the fork, right, don't try to pull them apart. Push them together.
Yeah.
So you were doing a clap.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And that then splits the clump up much, much easier than anything else.
Okay. Okay, so we're up to date with that. We've got so much to do in the garden. The other thing, of course, is when we talk about this time of year, I never quite understand how this all works, but it's magic because it happens every year. And we never quite expect it as much as we do. I'm talking about clearing leaves, because you're going to have to do very soon.
You are going to. And not only that, I don't know whether you've noticed, if you do a lot of woodland walks with your dog, is that there are acorns galore this year.
Oh, there are, aren't there?
Yeah, and it's called a mast year, M-A-S-T.
The squirrels are having great fun.
It's when the plant itself, the oak tree or the beech, actually feels stressed and they drop all their acorns and they much earlier than you think they would.
Why would they be stressed? Is that because of the lack of rain?
Yes. And the heat.
Okay.
Because don't forget that our woodland trees are not used to 40 degrees, are they?
Yeah, yeah.
So it is a stress thing. And that's one of the things that I find people send me some emails or some photographs. They don't realise that plants actually get really, really stressed in the heat. And so move your plants to a little cooler place in the garden if you can, if they're in a pot. One of the things that you need to think of is right plant, right place.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of the things of climate change that really never gets mentioned at all, really, the stress it all takes on the trees and the plants, as you just illustrated there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Opens your eyes to a whole new thing, doesn't it?
Oh, isn't gardening wonderful?
Yeah, it teaches you an awful lot of things. And, of course, it takes you back to nature. Which is, I think, what a lot of people need, because the whole thing spills over into agriculture, which is a much bigger form of gardening altogether.
Yeah. but even so, I mean, even walking out, you walk out into your garden. I do. Mine is like a jungle. And I must get you to come over here sometime and just have a look. And I can walk out there in the evening, and I've got a plant called a tithonia, which is a giant marigold. And it is giant. Yeah. I'm 5 foot and it's taller than me. And in the evening sun, it just glows. And I walk out there with a glass of wine and think, aren't I lucky? And it helps your mental health, actually. It calms you down. And it makes you look at different things. It's wonderful.
It's one of the unsung things as I've got older.
I mean, it's calming.
I really don't have green fingers, but I tell you what, I got really excited about these tomatoes this year and thinking, wow, didn't we do well? But of course, I think a lot of people did well with this year. So it's a case of wrap up this year. No one knows what's coming next year, but... Plan and prepare in the normal way, I think, is the advice, isn't it?
Think about your tomatoes next year, right?
Yeah.
Because I did say to you, don't put them in so early, didn't I?
Yeah, well, that's the point. We did this lot is the second lot after I'd spoken to you. So the other thing we've learned is we don't need four plants, we only need two.
It's like people say with courgettes, absolutely fantastic. I don't need six. I need one.
that's the wonder of gardening. Some years it works out for you.
Absolutely.
Other years it doesn't. And there's no particular reason why. But all I do know is lots and lots of people get lots of joy out of tending their gardens
fun?
And taking your advice.
It's lovely. I just love it. I've been gardening since I was, seven or eight with my grandfather.
1 or 2 years ago.
Just a few years ago, and I'm still doing it now, so keep going as long as you can.
Jean Griffin, it's wonderful to talk to you as always. Thank you for your tips today, and we'll catch up with you in a month or so's time. For now, Jean,
okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Bye.